couple of weeks back, I took over one quarter of the show to talk about what herbs to grow, how to grow them, when to put them into the ground, and how to keep them. Now, once you've got them and they've grown, what do you do with them? And most of all, one of the problems we always have with herbs is its storage is not very long if you don't store them correctly. So today, we're going to go through few minutes of how to store each kind of herb that you can have that so that sometimes they'll last up to 2 or 3 weeks. Usually if you buy them at the store, they're gone in a couple of days if you don't store them properly. Ironically, the very first thing that always comes up if you're really interested in cooking is to wash or not wash your herbs before storing them. And it's kind of the fancy word is contentious issue among chefs whether to do it or not. People in the no-wash camp feel that it's counterintuitive to add any kind of extra moisture to fresh herbs, as wetness speeds up the deterioration. There's something to be said about this theory. Wet herbs will quickly turn slimy. However, most recommend washing it to get rid of any grit, grime, or some people worry about the lingering bacteria, especially if you don't know the source of the herbs, and then completely dry the herbs before storage. So what is the easiest way to clean your herbs? Rinse them thoroughly under cool water. Take them for a spin, folks. Get yourself a salad spinner if you can. This will dry them quickly as well as remove the debris you didn't even catch while you were rinsing. If you don't happen to have a salad spinner on hand or don't want to get one, let the herbs sit on a paper towel until they're completely dry. Turn them a few times and make sure there's no moisture left in them. Before we go further, there's something else I think we should discuss, and that is soft herbs or herbs versus hard herbs. There is a difference. Obviously, soft herbs have soft, tender stems and leaves. Soft herbs you may be familiar with or that you use in your kitchen regularly include basil, parsley, cilantro, tarragon, and dill, and there are others that I use occasionally. As far as hard herbs go, they have tougher, woodier stems. Hard herbs that you probably are familiar with and you probably use regularly if you're a cook is rosemary, oregano, thyme, sage, and marjoram. That's probably those two categories cover probably 2/3 of all the herbs used on a regular basis, at least in the American kitchen. For soft herbs, I guess the way I'd say it's treat them like you would if you brought in a bouquet of flowers. Trim the stems and place them stem down in a shallow glass of water. Change in the water when it gets murky. I actually change it about every day. Incidentally, if you have asparagus you're not going to eat right away, it works equally as well for your asparagus. If you want to go an even extra mile, loosely cover the bouquet in a plastic wrap. This helps the herbs retain moisture in a dry environment and prevents oxygen from prematurely browning the leaves. For longest life, go ahead and once you've got them in the water and got them set, go ahead and set it in the refrigerator, and that's just fine. Except, one exception I learned the hard way is basil. Your basil bouquet should stay out at room temperature if you want it to last the longest it possibly can. For your hard herbs, it's best if you want them to last longer by loosely wrapping them in a damp paper towel or a damp kitchen towel. The moist bundle should go into the refrigerator, preferably into the crisper drawer, or even maybe into an airtight Ziploc bag to extend their useful life. If done properly, fresh herbs can last up to 3 weeks. Of course, all herbs are not created equal. First, you don't know how fresh it was when you got it. Some types naturally keep longer than others. Herbs like parsley, cilantro, rosemary, dill, and tarragon, if kept properly and water changed regularly, can last up to 3 weeks. Some of the herbs, meanwhile, are not quite as long-lasting. Basil, oregano, mint, thyme, and sage are usually gone in maybe as little as 10 days or so. I will add one more herb here that's not in this group, and that's garlic. For the most part, garlic should not go in the refrigerator and really doesn't freeze well. The best way to keep your garlic is out in open air, but in a closed cupboard, because garlic does get affected by ambient light that's in your kitchen that will shorten its useful life. Let me add one more of my favorite foods that I eat quite often that kind of fools people about how to keep them. An unripe avocado will last a few days, maybe a week at room temperature. Whereas if you already bought ripe avocados, you're best to stick them in the refrigerator where they will last 3 to 5 days longer if possible. Now, if you have avocados that's going the other way, they're not ripe yet, and you want to speed them up, believe it or not, get a brown paper bag or a bag. Paper is better than plastic in this case. Put the avocados in the bag with a banana, which is excellent, or even if you just have an apple or two. And what happens is there's an ethylene gas that the apples and the bananas give off that cuts the time to ripen the avocado by about half. One other trick that most people don't realize is if you come across a deal, whatever that means, on avocados, like seasonal, you'll get more than in certain times a year than others, you can actually freeze them solid. Now, you want to have them as ripe as you want to eat them before you freeze them because they will not continue ripening after you thaw them back out. But once you get them about the feeling you want with them, you don't have to do anything. I've seen a bunch of things where they say you throw them in the bag. No. Just put the avocados in the freezer, and when you want them, set them out a day ahead, or even run them, you know, since you still got the skin on them, you can even just drop them in some sink water until they thaw out and they're ready to use. So just a little tip on probably one of the best foods you can eat for yourself, number one. And number two, you can sure extend their life if you know how to take care of them. So those are sort of my gardening tips or food tips for the week, since it's the time of year it is. I did last week do the 13 hottest vegetables you can plant now that we're getting into June. If you want any of these things I do, folks, it's natureapproved@yahoo.com. Natureapproved, all lowercase, at yahoo.com. And I keep copies of all this. I can either send it electronic, or I even have some of it I can sure produce in paper for you. So if you ever like my ideas, people don't usually sit around the radio with a pencil. So get in touch with me at natureapproved@yahoo.com. Brought up this subject before, but it's been something that I've dealt with. Actually, saw my first horned lizard, call them horny toads, whatever you want, when I was 12 years old in a very strange place. There is a population outside of Pensacola, Florida, that someone either started or it got started some way, and I'd heard about it, and I was already into being a young herper and was living in Valdosta, Georgia, which is from Pensacola, maybe 150 miles, I don't know. And sure enough, went to some sand dunes that we were told, and I got to see my first live horned lizard. It was a Texas horned lizard, Phrynosoma cornutum. No one's sure how they got there. But that started my interest. Then a few years later, I got to come to Texas, and sure enough, was successful enough to find a good number of horned lizards. They're almost gone now, though. This was all 40 or 50 years ago. And right now, if you had to draw a line, you'd draw it from maybe Fort Worth over to Corpus Christi. And whatever that dissects, you really basically aren't going to find a single horned lizard east of there. And they're very, very rare here. When's the last time you've seen a horned toad in Kerrville, Texas? If you have, I'd like to know. As a teacher in Comfort a few years back, although it's longer than I think, it's like a decade ago, I did have a kid bring me horned lizards two times, from one particular field in Fredericksburg, Texas. However, and this will really disappoint you, that field is gone. It's now called Walmart. Haven't heard from one in that area since. However, what's bringing this up is, there's a guy that is heading a new project at the San Antonio Zoo, and they are breeding and releasing horned toads, actually in one place not too far from here, Drive, and they're actually hatching new babies and putting them on that property. And yes, they've been out and they have found young ones growing up and maybe even babies that were actually already hatched in that part of Texas. Being basically an animal lover of all types, the other thing that fascinated me, and the reason I'm telling this little story, I'll get to, I hope, in the next few minutes, but one of the big surprises to me was that they have a pilot project going with someone, and I don't know who the name is yet. I'm certainly going to find them and interview them when I can. They're training dogs to sniff out horned lizards. So they can follow, they have the guys marked, the ones they've turned loose, and they want to keep up with the populations, and it sounds like they're successfully training these dogs to take them out in the field. Well, believe me, I used to hunt it was a particular animal called box turtles in the East when I was young. And I didn't train him, but I had a Cocker Spaniel that somehow learned that's what I wanted. And for every box turtle I could come across, Chan was his name, Charlie Chan, could find 10 or 12 of them. So I found that sort of a fascinating way to work with this. I can't wait to go and meet. His name is Andy Glusenkamp. I won't say his name very often, but Glusenkamp is the man that's overseeing the project, the director out of the San Antonio Zoo. Now, what I'm telling you all this for is I'm going to tell you a little, I want to use the word fairy tale, but I'm not sure it's a fairy tale. It's old folklore that I think you'll find fascinating, and it'll tie into this, and it's good for at least one listen. Old Rip was a horned lizard whose supposed 31-year hibernation as an entombed animal is believed by some and, of course, doubted by others. His name is a reference to the fictional character Rip Van Winkle. And here's how the story goes. In 1897, a horned lizard was placed in a cornerstone of the Eastland County Courthouse in Eastland, Texas, along with other time capsule memorabilia. When the courthouse was torn down 31 years later, the cornerstone was opened on February 18, 1928. A live horned lizard was produced, allegedly from within the time capsule. The lizard became a celebrity and went on tour, even being taken to Washington, D.C. to meet President Calvin Coolidge. Well, old Rip, real or fake, is still on display in his coffin in Eastland, Texas. And the toad, actually not a toad, but horned toads are actually lizards, has been immortalized in another way also. As an inspiration for the Warner Brothers cartoon character, Michigan J. Frog, who later served as mascot for the Warner Brothers television network. If you really want to see old Rip, he's displayed in the ground floor window of the Eastland County Courthouse. I'm going to add a little bit more to the story in a different way, folks. I actually have been a bit more involved in horned lizards than I took a minute to tell. I almost did a master's on a particular horned lizard that had been found at 1909, I think to be exact, and never seen again. Well, at least when I was in college, never seen again. The name is Ditmar's horned toad, named after Raymond Ditmar, but there's nobody knows about him because we thought there weren't any more, called Phrynosoma ditmarsi. Long story short, because I'm going to run out of time here, I decided if there could find one, had ever been found a third one, I'd do the paper on it. I never found one at that time. However, about 20 years ago, a kid in high school did a science project, and in a matter of a few months, he found what was considered an extinct lizard with science that was unbelievably simple. He had the Museum of Science send him some stomach contents. Remember, this high school kid. He sent them out to a geologist and a botanist and everything he thought was in that, and they came back and cross-referenced everything and found out where that horned toad came from. And here's the interesting. It was supposed to be from Arizona, but between the time it was found in the 1900s and before I went looking or anybody else went looking, Arizona and Mexico had a big fight over the border, and they moved the border about 20 miles, and in that little area is exactly where that horned toad came from. So I find that a bit of an add-on to this particular story. Hey, you're listening to Organic Matters. We'll be back after this with more of the show.